Subscribe to our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Do not settle. Demand. Demand. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. Analysis and opinion so honest, it's just a matter of time before they get themselves in trouble. Baseball Central on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
All right, welcome to the final Baseball Central for the 2015 season. Doesn't mean we'll stop talking baseball, of course. Basically, the whole show will be Baseball Central. Well, not really. It is Jeff Blair, Kevin Barker, joined by Stephen Brunt. As we are just, 5 minutes after Alex Anthopoulos' post-mortem. The first time I believe it's been held this late in the season. Normally, it's a lot closer to the end of the regular season. But as you know, the Toronto Blue Jays did advance to the American League Championship Series, losing in six games to the Kansas City Royals, who will now go on to face the New York Mets in the World Series. Let's get some housekeeping items out of the way. No, Alex Anthopoulos did not say during his news conference, did not give us any hint about what his future is with the organization. I think some people thought that perhaps we would get some clarity on that situation. The only thing, I guess, as far as Alex Anthopoulos' contractual situation that was clarified today was that he said it was his desire to not have discussions on a contract, that he didn't want anything to detract from the postseason. Stephen, I almost believe that.
Yeah. Well, this is a tricky one, right? And we've been, I guess we've been, and really, you know what? It goes back to almost a year ago now when the Dan Duquette story came out. And it was understood that the Toronto Blue Jays, that the owners of the Toronto Blue Jays were going to make a change in terms of the executive of this team, that they were going to bring in somebody to replace Paul Beast. And Duquette's name came up, Kenny Williams' name came up, both guys who've been GMs, you know, both baseball guys. So that suggested a change in direction, and it also suggested, you know, a revamp of baseball operations, because that's what happens, right? If you hire somebody from a different place, they're going to do things differently than it's always been done. And there have been very few changes to the culture of the Toronto Blue Jays over the last 30-plus years. There have been almost none. But change was, you know, everybody understand that at that point the changes are coming in. And it just a matter of when and just a matter of who. So the Duquette thing fell apart, probably good, because it might have cost him Jeff Hoffman and they wouldn't have got Troy Tulowitzki, et cetera, et cetera. But from the minute Mark Shapiro was announced as the new guy, there's a bunch of dominoes that tumble there in pretty much instantly, which is, you know, Mark Shapiro, yes, he helped revamp the stadium in Cleveland and he's done other stuff. And yes, he moved upstairs in Cleveland, but he's a baseball guy and he's going to have some very strong ideas about running a baseball organization.
Let's say this, he's only 10 years older than Alex. This isn't a 65-year-old guy sliding into his dotage.
Very significant, right? So for Alex Anthopoulos to remain the general manager of the Toronto Blue Jays, and again, let's assume that those discussions with Mark Shapiro started before everything turned magical here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, at that point, it probably would have been pretty easy to sell the idea of a complete revamp of this organization because they hadn't won anything in a long time. It's a little more tricky now, but the truth of it still remains, which is that for Alex Anthopoulos to continue, he will have to be the general manager in a Mark Shapiro organization, which will have different philosophies and will involve different people. There are going to be new people in that building, baseball-wise and non-baseball-wise. A lot of stuff's going to change. And, you know, I guess the decision is Alex Anthopoulos's to make. That's certainly what it sounds like. But it's not as simple as how many years, how much money. It's can you operate with a new boss that you don't know, doing things differently, with some new people imposed upon you, or would you like to turn the page and go somewhere else? You know, probably there's no GM job sitting there right now, but he'd get a shot eventually, right? That's, you know, he loves the team, loves the city, his kids go to school here, all of that stuff. But it's a new world as of November 1st.
And Kevin, I'm going to bring you in a minute, but one thing I want to say here too is it's also a new world in the way baseball does business. And you don't need to live in the city where the team is located to work for a team.
So, yeah, even as the GM in some cases.
Even as the GM in some cases, exactly. So, you know, the idea that, you know, Alex wants to stay in Toronto, so therefore he's obligated to work for the Blue Jays. That's not the case. Tony LaCava has lived in Pittsburgh and worked for the Blue Jays for years. So I would think there's probably a chance that if Alex decides he doesn't want this job, I'm sure there's somebody out there who would hire him in some capacity and say, you know, you stay in Toronto and do what you got to do based out of Toronto.
Yep.
And for Alex, that may, you may do that until another general manager's job comes open. You know, anyhow, that's where we are. I wanted to get that out of the way. Kevin, I mean, you've been in the city now for a couple of years. Mm-hmm. I got to ask you, as someone who, you know, you're involved in baseball here, you're in that milieu. If Alex Anthopoulos isn't back next year, if this isn't done, how hard does it become to sell to people if Alex isn't back this year? I mean, this team's done so well. It's captured the country, all that stuff. But boy, if the Canadian GM isn't back next year,
I think it's a big deal. I think it's a bigger deal with the guys on the field that you have to re-sign, get taken care of. How comfortable are they with Alex Anthopoulos and not somebody else? The comfort level has to be there when you're signing for a lot of money. Mm-hmm. You want to be comfortable with that person. You want to go up. He's sort of your buddy now. He's not your boss anymore. When you're getting paid as much as these guys make, now it's about friendships and trusting a guy. Bringing in another guy other than Alex Anthopoulos, would there be trust there? Would these bigger name guys like a Jose Bautista, like an Edwin Encarnacion, like a R.A. Dickey, we can say that guy, like a David Price, are there friendships there besides the one on the field? I think that's a big deal. It would be a big deal to me if I was signing a big deal and I wanted to be involved with a certain person, and now a new president doesn't bring that new person in. Could be an issue.
And you know what I wonder too, guys, is Arden Zwelling had a terrific piece on the Sportsnet website where he talked to Troy Tulowitzki after the game, after game six. And Troy Tulowitzki said, look, his line was, I don't know if I trust anybody anymore. Troy Tulowitzki bought a house in Denver. Mm-hmm. He was there for life. I guarantee you at no point did Troy Tulowitzki think that he was coming
to
Canada.
Well, after the game.
But I was just going to say, you know, and here's a guy who's saying, you know what? I'm kind of looking forward to coming back next year and being with these guys and kind of seeing what it's like to not have to hit the ground running, but to be able to feel like I'm part of an organization. Now, that indicates to me that a lot of work has been done towards making Troy Tulowitzki feel a little more comfortable. I don't know what happens then. Now, Troy Tulowitzki shows up and, hey,
you can see the Jose mm-hmm. Bautista thing after the game sort of gave Alex Anthopoulos his vote. First time I've heard that, and now Alex Anthopoulos, if he doesn't come back, where does that relationship go now? You know, Bautista has a big voice on this field and in this country. You can say what you want. You have to make the bigger guys happy so everybody else falls in line. And if Alex doesn't come back, where does that go?
But I got to say, the die was cast, though.
Yes. Yeah,
and this is where it's not a surprise that the Blue Jays are going to have a new president. It's, you know, that was coming at some point, right? At some point, Paul Beeston's not going to be the president of this team. And I think that a lot of people who've been around the team would agree that there's probably some things that could and should change about the way this team operates, right? It needs a bit of a culture shakeup at this stage because it's kind of been run the same way forever. And that's great. And there's continuity and all of that, but there's some things that could be better. And I think internally people would say the same thing, actually. Mm-hmm. But the minute you decide that that guy's a baseball guy, then the die is cast.
Yeah.
Because, there's going to be repercussions in terms of baseball here. And
we're going to be joined by John Gibbons, starting with the manager. And that gets the other point. If Troy Tulowitzki, and I'm just using him as an example, if he's kind of comfortable here now he comes back a new manager, new president. I don't know. I think it could get really messy.
It could.
I think it could get really messy.
It depends how it depends how you build. If we'd had this conversation 6 months ago, half of the fan base, three quarters of the fan base would say, let's go, giddy up.
Right.
Let's get rid of all those guys.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because look what's happened. They've been in place for 5 years and they haven't won a thing. You know, look at the Miami Marlins trade. What a disaster that was. Boy, look at the R.A. Dickey deal. We should have no, it's life will go on.
Mm-hmm.
And presumably a credible internal team would be built. You know, you wouldn't have a bunch of mopes in there. Mark Shapiro was a smart guy. He's been in baseball. It's not like this is a starter job for him. But, you know, I think you're right that it's not insignificant. Certainly not going to be insignificant to the fan base in terms of their kind of belief in this thing, which has been hard won. Really that only kicked in this year that people started to believe in what was going on. And in terms of some of the players, I know that sounds, I know everybody's a mercenary. You go where you get the most money. But I think other things do occasionally factor
in. How big of a deal would it be for somebody on the outside looking in from the States saying that, you know, how good do you have to be to come back to a certain spot? Because Alex Anthopoulos has done a lot, you know, the last 3 months here. And people are going to say, if he doesn't come back, how good do you have to be? What do you have to do to stay here long term? These are questions that, and it, to me, if I were a player in that clubhouse, it would matter.
But you know,
it,
Kevin,
would matter to me.
But the thing is, he can come back. You know, and he can come back right now, and he can come back with decent term and probably decent money. I'm making some assumptions here, but he's going to be working in a different organization.
Yeah.
So it's more about that. It's not like they're you know, running him out of town on a rail, right? That's not what's happening here. It's that he's going to be working for different people in a different way. So the change at the top means kind of automatically there's going to be change below. And it's kind of up to him whether he can fit into that world or not. It's not like he's being fired, I guess is what I'm saying.
Right.
You know,
right.
Everybody understands what they accomplished this year.
It's Baseball Central with Jeff Blair, Kevin Barker, and Stephen Brunt. John Gibbons, the manager of the Blue Jays, will join us in a few minutes. Let's take a look back at Game 6 before John Gibbons joins us. I know we do have some questions we want to ask him. Talking points out of that game. The home run. We talked about how Stephen and I talked about, I didn't see enough to overturn it necessarily.
I didn't either.
And I think, you know, your initial reaction is to feel aggrieved, but then once you sort of sit back and look at it and realize that you probably don't have you definitely don't have the same angles they have in New York. I mean, I made the point, guys, that call, if it goes either way, would probably be upheld. That was just one of those things you see in baseball. More concern to the way the game was played. Let's talk about Ryan Goins taking that first pitch, because games like this come down to small things that didn't get done.
It's a forbidden phrase.
Key points of execution that didn't get done. And in that case, with Ryan Goins in the fifth inning, taking that first pitch when you've got to give yourself up right there. You got to square. You got to put the bunt down. There's no discussion about it.
That's one of the questions we can ask John Gibbons, what went on there. He would know better than we would, but I'm with you. You give yourself more chances. You want three chances instead of two chances to get it done. And, you know, that's one of those spots, I think, that the moment just sort of overwhelmed a person. I really do think that's a situation where, you know, when people are not used to doing certain things and you're geared up to go about winning in a different way, and you ask a certain team, you know, let's face it, the Blue Jays are not geared up to get a guy on and get him over. That's not the way the culture is here now, and that's not the way the American way, East way of baseball played. So when you put certain guys in certain situations to do things, and that time just sort of overwhelms people, you sort of forget what you're up there to do. And to me, when I watched that, that's what I saw. Now, we can ask and see what the real reason was, but that's what I took away from it. But
it's not like you're asking Eddie Encarnacion to bunt. Right? You're asking a guy who should, you know, is probably the best bunter on your team.
100%, exactly right. So, yeah, that's not the only reason why they lost. They lost for many reasons. You know, they were 11 for 58, .190 in scoring position with 21 strikeouts. And the other team hit .417 with 4 strikeouts. That's one of the main reasons why they lost a 6-game series. And you know, you can say it any way you want. Sometimes you have to take your hats off and give the other team credit, and this is one of those times where you have to, I think.
The other talking point, the pitch selection. Roberto Osuna on the mound, Russ Martin behind the plate, the slider, the walk to Lorenzo Cain, the slider to Eric Hosmer. Of course, we saw Jose Bautista, the play he made on it. And credit the Kansas City Royals for great base running and a great job by the third base coach with Lorenzo Cain. Do you have a problem with that, with the way that transpired?
I did. I think Osuna, if I'm not mistaken, shook off to the slider against Cain. And the next guy, it was more of Russell Martin putting the slider down for Hosmer. Yeah, I got a problem with that. I think there's certain times where you get beat with certain pitches. And, you know, when I was watching those two at-bats, it looked to me like 97 was getting on guys in a hurry. Mm-hmm. And if you want to get beat with 97, that time of the season, it plays. I'm sorry. This time of the season.
Well, guys, tell us why, because you've said that a lot. Tell us why power plays.
Hey, guys, this time of the season have taken a lot of swings, and guys are tired and just having a lot of trouble getting the foot down and getting the bat head out in front of the plate. And if you're going to get beat, you speed guys' bats up by throwing off speed pitches. It's like Moustakas when he hit the home run. Why would you throw him a changeup when you just threw fastballs by him? Why would you do these things? And, yeah, I want the pitcher-catcher combination to get together and walk out to the mound and say, why are we doing this?
Mm-hmm.
Why, let's have a reason why to do it. And I just didn't see that reason being that's why you threw it. That's all.
Well, there are some questions to ask about Game 6, some questions to ask about 2015, and I think a lot to look forward to in 2016. One of those, the manager of the Toronto Blue Jays, John Gibbons, who joins us in Baseball Central. Good morning, Mr. Gibbons.
Good morning.
How are you doing today?
Good. I'm just waking up, man. It's nice. Hey, we haven't had a good night's sleep in a while. Sorry.
You're not the only one who hasn't had a good night's sleep in a while, I can tell you. John, it was a lot of fun this year watching you guys play, and I'm just wondering, now that you've had a couple of days to sit back and think about this, what separated you guys from the Kansas City Royals in this series? Because as Alex just finished saying, you know, man in third base, we get one or two hits with runners in scoring position, and we're probably, well, you would have played a game seven, and we're probably right now deciding whether or not what your rotation might be for the World Series. I mean, what's the difference between your team and Kansas City as you see it?
Well, Jeff, you know what? Yeah, I mean, you look back at that final game, and we were right there. You know, we got the guy on third at first with no outs, and then we're sitting, you know, second and third with one out. And usually we capitalize there. You know, we set up a couple guys, that good contact type guys. And, you know, really the difference there at that particular moment came down to Wade Davis. You know, I mean, he's that good, and, you know, he made some pitches, and, you know, he got a couple of close calls his way, and it kind of turned the count a little bit. But, overall, I think on the whole series, you know, we after the trade deadline, you know, we made some big additions and really shored up our defense, our pitching, and things like that. But I think really our offense is who we were all year.
Mm-hmm.
And they held us in check in the games they beat us. They held us down pretty good. In the games we won, I mean, we erupted pretty good. We did our normal thing. And if you get good pitching or a particular moment a guy's on makes it, you know, exploits emotions or whatever it is and pulls a big pitch out and gets you out. I mean, that's what it came down to. I still think they're probably if you look at the probably the most well-rounded team in baseball and the different things they do, really an old, if you were to build like a team with a little bit of everything, they have that, you know, different ways they can beat you, you know, in that real strong bullpen and things like that, and they can run you out of the park. It really, you know, there was a couple instances, you know, where speed played an important part for them, especially, with Kane scoring from first, but for the most part, we held their running game in check, and it really they didn't even really need Kane or Dyson. Dyson at the end.
Mm-hmm.
You know, were they exploiting those tie games and things like that? So really, it was we hit, we won. We didn't. They won.
Yeah, Gibby, congratulations on a great season. I finally get to tell you that. I haven't seen you in a while, and congratulations on that. You did a heck of a job, you and your team. But now that the season's over, and you can look back on what your young guys did, like Osuna, Sanchez, Stroman. Just tell the fans a little bit how bright this future looks for the Blue Jays, because being Jeff and I covered this team last year was my first year. The future didn't look as bright as it does now. Give the fans of the Blue Jays a little bit of excitement for next year.
Well, I mean, yeah, I think you can go beyond the young guys, you know, the core group is still there, you know, with, you know, Donaldson, Batista, Eddie. You know, there's not a lot of time left for those guys to be entering free agency pretty soon. But, the main group is still there. But, you know, with the additions of the guys you're talking about, where, you know, Osuna stepped up and, you know, he played a vital role for our team. You know, Sanchez, everybody knew a little bit about Sanchez from the year before. And then, you know, he was starting to come into his own as a starter and then got hurt. But then we put him in the bullpen and he thrived again. Stroman showing up again. I mean, you know, the team was really counting on him to be a big part this year, and then he had the knee injury, and then, you know, he came out of nowhere and really saved us in a lot of ways. Yes, so, those are three pretty good names right there. That and they're all pitchers, and they're young, and they've proved so much at this level already. So you can't help but get excited about that. So I mean, the team. You know, I don't know what happens, but I mean, I don't see the team changing in a lot of ways. I'm sure there'll be some additions, some subtractions, just to, you always have to move forward a little bit. But the core group, all those guys, we all got a taste of it too, and that can do wonders for you too. Going into an off season and looking forward to the following year. So the state of the union is great, I think.
Hey John, it doesn't sound like Game 6 is eating you up too much, and I think that's probably the right, the perspective in the whole season is absolutely right. But there's a couple of talking points from that game I guess we should at least discuss with you. One is Ryan Goins taking strike one and not getting a bunt down, and then the questions about Osuna and pitch selection against Kane and Hosmer. You want to just take those two?
Well, I told Ryan before he went up there, they were starting to walk guys. Ventura was losing the strike zone, so I called him over and said, "Hey, listen, he just walked Russell. Now he's walking Pilar. It's hard to walk Kevin, but maybe through 10 pitches, 8 balls. So I said, go up there and take a strike, see what happens. If we can work a walk here, if he's really losing it, we'll take advantage of that. If not, go to work, lay down a bunt, get those guys over, and see what happens. So." That was basically it. Then he's got one ball to work with there. I don't like to bunt with two strikes. The guy can throw anything up there and mm-hmm. It's tough to get it down. You foul it off and things like that. So that's really what happened there. Now, what are you referring to now with Osuna and?
I think the fact that he went to the slider, walked Kane on the slider, and just maybe getting beat in the at bat with his third best pitch.
Yeah, well, if I look back, I think, he really attacked him with everything he had, and I get that, certain situations, it's one of those things, you always got to trust your catcher and your pitcher out there, especially since it's been a good combo all the time, I know you can say, well, you got beat with this, you got beat with that, it was close, he laid off of it, but a lot of times it comes down to what that guy's feeling in his head right there, his slider, although he had the finger problem, late in the season was bothering me. That really became a non-issue late, and that's what they gambled on. It's tough to, mm-hmm. I can sit back and tell you this or that, but if that's in their heart what they felt, man, go for it.
In conversation with John Gibbons, manager of the Toronto Blue Jays, John, when you look back on this particular series and you see how Jose Bautista answered the bell and how well he played, and I mean Josh Donaldson as well, he had a good series. I'm Troy Tulowitzki, the guys that probably some of those guys would probably rather have better all-around numbers, but they came through with a lot of clutch hits and made a lot of clutch plays. Did you learn something about Jose Bautista and Josh Donaldson in the postseason? Maybe not something that surprised you, but something that gave you an even greater sense of comfort with these guys.
Yeah, Jeff, they stepped up, and you always need your big guys, to come through, and it's not always that easy. They in a lot of ways they become the focal point of the other team and how they're going to approach them, they're going to be careful with them, this and that, I thought they both had tremendous series. Josh had been to the postseason a little bit. And so he had an MVP caliber year for us. But the human nature of the thing, even the big guys, your go to guys, they rev it up, they want to be the guy. They've been doing it all year, and a lot of them have a tendency to press. And if they do struggle, the whole focus is on those guys. I thought they both stepped up really well. They ran into some good pitching too that held them in check, whether it was their approach against them or just making good quality pitches. But there's some games they really erupted and led us to the wins. And Hosey's game that final game when it was on the line, the big home run early to cut it, cut the lead in half, and then the game tying, speaks. I mean, that tells you who he is. He likes that stage. He's never had a chance to participate in it. And when he finally did, he rose to the occasion.
Gibby, we always talk about on this show and other shows on young guys learning things in the playoffs and new guys that's never been in a playoff series. You know, when they do it again, they probably won't do it that way the next time through. Is there anything as a manager this time that you did in the playoffs, or especially the series against Kansas City, that you did that next time you're in a playoff spot, you may go, huh, I probably won't do it that way because I did it this time and it didn't work? Is there one time that you remember that maybe is going to turn around to be that thought this time, the next time around?
Well, you know, Bark, you know, if I had a little more time to think about it, and I'm sure I will here in the next few days, you know, I might be able to give you a little better answer there. You know, one thing, you know, games at the big league level, things happen fast. You know, they always do, you know, and you get in the postseason, it's, you know, it's even revved up even more, you know. So you know, you're always prepared, always trying to be the best prepared you can. And, you know, I'll sit back and look at some things and really let the game play out the way that, you know, it's going to. You know, you can have your plans before the game if this happens, or we got this guy here, or this guy there. But, you know, usually in baseball that doesn't always work, you know. So you see something different happens. And but you really still have to go with your strengths, I think, in the guys you have, and really a lot of times what got you there, you know. And, you know, you lean on your veterans too, things like that. So, you know, I mean, as far as strategy things, you know, if you give me a little more time, I can probably come up with something a little bit better than that. But, you know, it's still the game of baseball. Everything's magnified, no doubt. You know, you approach things differently because, you know, the season could be over tomorrow. And we try to do that. So call me next week. I'll probably give you better.
Hey, John, I don't know if you read the Tom Verducci story, the Sports Illustrated story, but he talked to those guys who were the advanced scouts for Kansas City who had been following your team for more than a month, I guess, heading into the postseason. And they claimed that they had picked up some tendencies on David Price that they could tell essentially when he was in the stretch when he was going to throw the change up, and also picked up some stuff about him not throwing over to first base. You know, they did steal a base on him, which almost never happens. Did you guys, in terms of them, maybe their Kansas City hitters maybe sitting on that change up, did you guys sense that at all? That, you know, I know we talk about sign stealing all the time and guys tipping pitches and usually there's nothing to it, but did you feel at any point during the series that maybe that was happening?
Well, you know, it was Steve, you know what, you know, really all year long, you know, any time, you know, say we got one of our guys, our good pitchers, you know, that gets hit around a little bit or something just doesn't seem right in that game, you know, our pitching coaches and other guys, they'll sit there and, you know, they'll go over his game. They try to pick up whether he's doing, you know, you'll find out most guys in the game, not all, but a large percentage of them, they do a little bit something different with their, you know, whether it's their glove tilt or something in their motion, you know, for different pitches. And, you know, we've got some really good guys on our team that are good at picking up that stuff too, you know, from our offensive end of it. And so, when something goes a little haywire in a game, you know, our pitching coaches and other guys, they'll sit there, you know, they'll break it down, and, you know, they can get the videos and place everything next to each other and try to find it. And so, yeah, there was other times during the season, even though as good as David was, you know, they were keeping an eye on some different things, you know, because he might have done something a little different in the past at times too. So yeah, they were looking at that hard, especially after that game, you know, that second game in Kansas City, you know, that after that seventh inning, and you know, they tinkered with a couple things, I can tell you that. And but it's you know, that's really, you know, teams, you know, really good teams, and with certain players on teams are great at picking that up. And, you know, so I did, you know, that was brought to my attention. It's something about his breathing, I guess, you know, Dave's
yes.
A big breather and things like that. It might've been like he was breathing different on changeups. We didn't see it. You know, they apparently saw it, I guess. I don't know. That's, you know, that's a rumor anyway. So, you know, I thought he was really good that second game. I mean, that final game anyway. You know, he gave up a couple solo home runs early, and then I thought he was really good. So that's kind of the cat and mouse game of baseball. You know, we do some of that too against our opponents, you know, but they do so many good things over there in Kansas City. They're pretty sharp.
John, before we let you run, do want to ask you about next season. I know it's early, but you know, I think everybody agrees that the core of this team is pretty good. The one thing that I'm interested in is, It is a predominantly right-hand hitting team. Does this team need to add? Does it need to add another left-handed bat in the lineup in some form?
Well, you know what, Jeff, that would probably be ideal. You know, because it is so we are so heavy, right-handed heavy. And, you know, we even talked about that going into the season last year, and then you know different periods throughout the year. And you know, the thing we have going for us is, you know, our guys up top, that you know, our main guys, you know, really good too against right-handers.
Mm-hmm.
So that can counter that a little bit. But it does. I will say it does. You know, if you're on the opposite side and you're managing against us, I mean, it makes it real, real easy to, you know, set up your bullpen against, you know, the way we're lined up. That's obvious. Doesn't mean it's easy to do and get us out, but you know, it would make it a lot tougher, no doubt about that. You stick a pretty good lefty in there, and even in the middle of it, or even, you know, in the tail end of those three guys that come up, and you know, that could work to our advantage, no doubt.
John, listen, it was great fun watching you guys play this year. It was an awful lot of fun talking to you this year. Really appreciate your insights, your honesty, and your availability. And enjoy at least take some time off and enjoy the family before you have to get back at it.
I think they're already ready to get rid of me.
It's too early for that.
You guys are old pros, man, and I enjoyed visiting with you guys. You're good baseball men and good guys, too. So I hope we do it again as this thing carries out maybe a little longer.
Yeah, I think there's a pretty good chance of that. John, thanks for doing this, man.
Thanks, Gibby.
Thanks, John. All right,
guys. It's John Gibbons, manager of the Toronto Blue Jays, losers to the Kansas City Royals in six games, the American League Championship Series. We've got a lot to talk about after that interview. The Ryan Goins stuff is particularly interesting. You want to hang around?
Yeah, sure.
All right. We'll be back with Jeff Blair, Kevin Brunt. Jeff Blair, Kevin Brunt, Stephen Barker. Jeff Blair, Kevin Barker, and Stephen Brunt of Baseball Central, of Sportsnet 590, The Fan, of Sportsnet 360.
Now Jeff Blair can tell you bedtime stories. Subscribe to podcasts of The Jeff Blair Show at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher and listen anytime you want. Sweet dreams. Sportsnet 590, The Fan on demand. Now, back to more Baseball Central on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
All right, welcome back to Baseball Central, the final edition of Baseball Central for 2015. So, Brent, now that you've been here for 40 minutes and you've had the... you've been treated to Barker off air. What do you think?
That's my favorite part of the show. It's always
it's just the best.
Yeah, every day when fun. He drops in on the Jeff Blair show with Jeff Blair, he's it's always my favorite part. The last break of that show.
I can't believe I'm sitting here with two living legends.
That's exactly right.
Oh, well, just a minute. Hang on.
I can't believe it. I listened to you on the radio, and now I'm sitting here with you guys. Wow.
You're just basking in our excellence.
It's an unbelievable day. It's right up there with me the first day I got called up to the big leagues. It's right there with
Stop
that.
It.
Hunting and fishing talk. That's what I like. Lots right of hunting
That's what it is. Off the air. It's hunting and fishing
talk.
The
only talk. Guy I can have those conversations with around this place.
That's true.
I should come in Saturday morning. I mean, you know, those guys. I could talk
we
to
should.
Them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm not. Well, anyhow, I'm not certain that politically you'd fit in with those guys.
I don't know. We have something in common.
That's true. Interesting conversation with John Gibbons. I thought, Brent, you asked him about the Ryan Goins at bat. We can now say that John Gibbons told Ryan Goins to take a pitch when he went up to the plate because the lack of command on the part of the pitcher. Kevin?
Yeah, I'm not real sure that I would have done that if I was the manager. I think the situation sort of dictates what's going on, and you had to get the guys over in scoring position. Okay. That was the time to do it. And with the way Kansas City throws the baseball and the way they can, you know, make it go where they want to, he made an interesting comment about the 8 out of 10 balls, out of the pitches, where 8 out of 10 were balls. I guess if it were me, I'm giving him 3 shots, not 2 shots, but –
Mm-hmm.
This is why you have a manager. This is why he has to make the tough calls, and I'm sitting here and not managing.
And let's also say it's not as if they were ridiculously easy pitches to bunt either.
No. But I think if the goal is to get, you know, the goal in any case is to get those guys over, right? It's not having Goins up there, you know, on a favorable count trying to hit something. You still want to get him over.
It's like
right?
You said, Brennan, you had the right guy up. He's the best bunter on the team.
Yeah.
So
And you know what I found interesting too, and this may be why one of the reasons I kind of like John Gibbons. Well, it's definitely one of the reasons I like him as a manager. He talked about the Osuna and the Martin, you know, the play by play. And I loved what he said. You know, a lot of times you have to go with a guy goes with what he feels in his head, you know, and he said that their heart was in throwing the slider in that particular pitch. And that's John Gibbons, the manager.
That is.
That's John Gibbons, the
manager.
He's
a player's manager.
I got two guys, the guy with the ball, the guy calling the pitch.
Well, Russell Martin's been there and done it. You know, sometimes I guess you got to go with the guy that's been there and done it. But, you want to – whenever you have to answer the question, you want to be able to say, I got beat with my best pitch. I take my hat off to that person. And to me, that situation and the next one with Hosmer, you didn't. And –
Let me ask you guys this. What did we learn about John Gibbons, the manager, this year? This is his first year taking a team to the postseason, and even he admitted before the postseason that, you know, I might find out something about myself. And I think you heard a guy who is willing to be introspective in this point. I mean, he's not ready yet because he just got out of bed. But I would think at some point in the next couple of days he might look back at that. What did you learn about him as a manager?
Well, I'll tell you, I thought he had to manage like his hair was on fire the first half of the season, mm-hmm. even though this was a great offensive team. But given some of the stuff Alex talked about in his press conference today, you know, he had infielders playing in the outfield. Really. He had a lot of – there were a lot of holes. He had to patch together a bullpen. He had to – you know, he ended up with a 20-year-old closer. There were a lot of things on this team that were not graved in stone. You know, they brought six rookies north. Mm-hmm. There were a lot of moving pieces, and this team evolved during the season. And I know they got the huge infusion of talent at the deadline, but you had to incorporate those guys and you had to make it work. And part of that is getting out of the way, just saying, yep. Holy smokes, I got a really good lineup. Now you guys go and score 10 runs a game. But, you know, even losing Brett Cecil when he did. Mm-hmm. Aaron Sanchez getting hurt and falling out of the rotation at the time when he was settling in.
Drew Hutchison becoming a non-factor. Who, mm-hmm. if I had said to you at the start of the year, Jays go to the ALCS and Drew Hutchison doesn't pitch for the last 5-6 weeks, you guys would look at me like I'm an idiot.
Well, I think we said, I believe we had a conversation right around the beginning of the season where he said, the linchpin, the most important guy in the rotation is Drew Hutchison, right? Like, there's a bunch of other, X factors here, but that guy's got to, he's got to be a front of the rotation guy for this team to succeed. Mm-hmm. I think that would have been conventional wisdom going into the season. And instead, he was, by the end of it, he's their fifth and a half starter. Mm-hmm. I think he managed through a lot of adversity, including in the postseason. You can second guess stuff he did. Absolutely. You can second guess him bringing in Price in the first Dickey start. You can second guess a lot of the stuff we're talking about in game six. But I thought he managed his way through surprisingly turbulent waters for a really good team.
Yep.
Very well.
I'll say this. I think it's very hard to manage a lot of talent. The Blue Jays all of a sudden have a lot of talent. And when guys want to play for you and do whatever it takes to win games, you got 1 through 25 all headed in the right direction, says something. It has to start somewhere. And it starts with your manager. And that's what I took away from this. There's a lot of superstars on this team. You have to have everybody headed in the right direction, wanting to do the right thing. It doesn't matter. R.A. Dickey said it the best. It didn't matter who got their name in the paper as long as everybody, the team, was getting its name in the paper. And it starts with your manager, and that's what I took away from. It's very hard to do that. I've been a lot of clubhouses where that's very hard. You have different people going in different directions, worrying about contracts and not worried about winning. Now in Blue Jays land, it's all about winning, and it's fun.
One thing that occurred to me, though, we're talking about that, because, Alex made a big point of that culture change. He talked about it a lot in the offseason, talked about it a lot today, and, good guys who tried hard and want to win, as well as being really talented. But, the truth of that is they were all of that, and they won, and everybody loved everybody, and everybody's on the same page, and they all oars were being pulled together, and they scrapped right to the very last out. If you put that same group together next April, and they have a really terrible month for one reason, there's some really strong personalities in that room. They might can just as easily hate each other's guts. You know team dynamics, right? Like, there's some strong guys in that room. They're gonna grate, and you don't grate against each other when it's good, but when it's bad, can you see this thing? Can you see that with those guys?
You could see R.A. Dickey the way he used R.A. Dickey, and he'd take him out of games and, a 4 2/3 and not giving him a win just because it's better for the team. Those things, R.A. Dickey has a voice in that clubhouse. It could go different directions. If something is not, you don't have a conversation with a certain You know, he's won a Cy Young. You can say what you want the way he's pitched, but he has a voice. He has a strong voice, and it all has to head in the right direction.
We've just got a couple of minutes here. Do we have any concerns about what we saw to Russ Martin in the postseason? Because, excuse me, he's a guy who's here for a long time. When he came here, we kind of all thought this was going to be Russ Martin's team. I don't know if, given the personalities in this team, if it's anybody's team. I think it's Russ's team, it's Josh Donaldson's team, it's Jose Bautista's team. Are we comfortable with Russ Martin going forward based on what we saw in the postseason? It was not a good offensive postseason for him.
No.
I'm going to say it relies a lot on R.A. Dickey. I think if R.A. Dickey's back and he has to catch him a lot for 35 starts or however many starts, I think that is a big, big issue with the Russell Martin on how he does offensive side of the ball, how much energy it takes for him to catch the knuckle. You're not going to take three catchers. Russell Martin's your guy. So how does that work out? If R.A. Dickey comes back, there's an issue for me. Mm-hmm. And that's something that has to be addressed.
I think that's a great point. You know, spring training, Russell Martin was very confident about being able to handle the knuckleball. I think as the season wore on, he was quite happy to have Josh Tolley show up once out of every five and catch it. And I think when he did have to go back to catching it on a regular basis, it sucked a lot of energy out of him. You know, not just kind of physical energy, but other energy. You know, and I think that affected him at the plate.
Gentlemen, what has to happen for us to be back here next year at this date talking about Jays getting ready for game one of the World Series?
First of all, I think they have to bring back Alex. That to me, I think it matters that you need that big-time voice leading the – all your boys in the clubhouse have to know that that's the guy that brought you here, and now we have him to rely on, Alex Anthopoulos. And then they – two big things. They need a big-time lefty to somewhere between the three big guys. It mattered in the playoffs.
I think a Chris Davis-type guy would
well,
be –
Well, yeah, Ned Yost didn't have to do a whole lot of managing, which is an issue. You get him to manage – bad things start to happen. And, you know, they have to deal with the David Price thing. Can you bring him back? Is Marcus Stroman a true number one? Those are two big issues that have to be solved.
You know, and you have to, I would say, look, on a big, you can't fall in love with a team. You can't fall in love. And I say you can't fall in love with a manager generally. You can't, what just happened, happened. Mm-hmm. And that's now past. And it was a combination of circumstances and players and situation. All kinds of stuff went into it. You can never go ahead and say, well, let's just do that again with the same guys. It doesn't work that way. You know, so they, part of it's going to be whoever runs this team is not falling in love with that roster and doing what, you know, Kansas City did, which is they took a team that went to game seven in the World Series and they tweaked it, right? They made some adjustments. A lot
brought
of
in Alex Rios. They brought in Kendry Morales.
Yep.
Volquez.
Made some good and made some good moves at the deadline too, you know, bringing in Zobrist and stuff like that. You can't just say, let's go do it again, because it never works.
No, and I thought it was interesting in Alex's news conference, the one thing he was asked about his plans for next year, and he said, well, you know, we think that the lineup is intact, but he also mentioned last year at this time we thought that the lineup was intact, and what happened? Well, Russ Martin was out there. Everybody said, you don't need a catcher. We got a catcher. Troy Tulowitzki was acquired at the trade deadline. You already have a shortstop. Yeah, but we wanted a better defensive shortstop. So that's something to keep in mind when it comes to the Blue Jays, is just because there doesn't appear to be a crying need for something right now at a particular position, I'm thinking about first base, doesn't necessarily mean that they won't, if something better comes along at that position, they won't go for it.
I'll tell you what, Jeff, I guarantee you that one of those players that right now every fan would say we cannot possibly live without that guy will be gone.
I agree. I agree completely. And that is the nature of baseball. Listen, Stephen, thank you so much for joining us today.
My pleasure.
And helping us put a bow in the 2015 season. Kevin, it's been a real pleasure.
It's an honor.
I've told people, it's the best hour of my working day when I get to work with you.
Appreciate
and,
that.
Well, we'll do it again next year. I'm sure the Jays will give us, I'm sure they'll give us something to talk about. And we'll be calling you during the offseason.
Nice.
Whether you like it
take,
or not.
Whether you like it or not.
I'm not picking up.
More than likely at 9 o'clock. I'm just warning you right now. So for Stephen Brunt, Kevin Barker, I got it right this time, and John Gibbons, the manager of the Toronto Blue Jays, I'm Jeff Blair. Thanks for joining us in Baseball Central. Remember, the Jeff Blair Show from 9 to 12. Trust me, we're going to be talking a lot of baseball this offseason. Have a great day.